Chapter 15. I'm sitting in a wheelchair. I refuse to call it my wheelchair. In front of a full-length mirror in my room, trying to put my pants on. I've been at it for a while. I can't say exactly how long I've been at it because I'm not wearing my watch. That part of the daily Iron Man that is getting dressed will come after I wrestle myself into my shirt, if I have the strength for it. For some reason, getting everything south of my waist dressed is infinitely easier than dressing everything up top, and even that is infinitely far from easy. I can now get socks onto both of my feet, all by myself. My left toenails are painted the brightest Hoochie Mama red my mother could find at CVS, and my right toenails are simply clear-coated. I realize this looks weird, but it's not like I'll be wearing any open-toed shoes anytime soon. The red nail polish acts like a big red flag, like my diamond ring, and it helps me notice my left foot. And when I find it, I can then pull and tug and wiggle my sock onto it with my right hand. I also wear mismatched socks. Same logic as the Hoochie Mama nail polish. My therapists are trying to make the left side of everything, including the left side of me, as interesting and as noticeable as possible. So my right sock is usually a standard white ankle sock, and the left is rainbow-striped or polka-dotted or argyle. Today, it is green and covered with reindeers. I wish they were all Rudolphs and the noses lit up. I've got my right foot already through the right pant leg, and I'm bent over, resting my chest on my bare thighs, clutching the open waist of my jeans with my right hand, ready to pounce on my left foot should I see it, like I'm stalking a rare butterfly with a net. The problem is I can't seem to do two things at once. I can see the reindeer sock, or I can use my right hand. If I see the sock, then as soon as I try to capture it using my right hand, it's gone. I've got the reindeer sock in sight again and decide I'm going to go for it full out. I hold my breath and try lassoing my pants onto my foot with every ounce of determination I've got. But I miss the sock, and all those ounces of determination tip my sense of balance, and I start to topple over out of the wheelchair. As I'm pitching forward and I realize that I can't stop myself, I also realize that there's no time to throw my hands out to break my fall. My right hand is still devoted to the left pant leg project, and who knows where my left hand is. My mother screams and catches me before I bash my head on the dingy linoleum floor. Thank God. The last thing I need is another head injury from putting on my pants. My mother props me up against the back of the chair, grabs my left foot, and lifts it up like I'm her rag doll. "Ow, I'm not that flexible," I say. "Sorry. Try it sitting back. You're not supposed to help me. If I didn't help you, you'd be lying on the floor." "Good point." "Fine, but not so high. Hold it there. I can see it there." I finally thread my reindeer foot and the leg attached to it through my pant leg. I'm sweating and really want to take a break, but I see me in the mirror, jeans pulled up to my knees and naked from the waist up. I have to keep going. My mother then helps me lift my bottom into the seat of the pants. This takes several minutes. Then she tugs at the front of my waist. "These pants don't fit," she says. "I know, just zipper them." She tries again and grunts to show me how hard she's trying. "I can't," she says, looking at me like I'm an overpacked suitcase that won't close. "Try now," I say. I take a huge, deep breath in, trying to pin my belly button to my spine. "You need bigger pants," says my mother, giving up. "I don't need bigger pants. I need to lose weight." "You want to add a diet to the list of things you need to do here? That's crazy. Let me buy you a bigger size." I feel her checking for the tag, her cold fingers on the small of my back. "Stop it. Sarah, you should accept yourself the way you are. This is the way I am. This is my size. I'm not going bigger." "But you are bigger." I suck my breath in again and pull on the zipper to no effect. "You need to start accepting your situation." "Huh. Are we talking about my jeans now or something else?" She, of all people, can't possibly think she's going to lecture me about accepting the situation. When did she ever accept her situation? When did she ever accept me? I'm suddenly and surprisingly flooded with hot emotion, like every complicated feeling I'd ever had about my mother had been lying, unexamined and undisturbed, a thick film of dust on a table in the attic, untouched for 30 years, and she just blew a puff of air across the surface, throwing every particle of hurt into turbulent motion. "Just your pants," she says, sensing my agitation and backing down. "I'm not wearing a bigger size," I say, shaking with fight or flight, flight not being a plausible option. "Fine. Fine." I stare at my mother's reflection in the mirror, an emotional tornado still gathering energy inside me, and I wonder how long we can sit in the same room and not talk about all the things we never talk about. She hands me my black Merrell mules, my only rubber-soled, flat shoes with no laces and no buckles, and with the help of the mirror and the holiday sock, I jam each mule onto each foot without any help from her. There. Bottom half done. Reindeer socks, mules, and my unzipped, unbuttoned skinny jeans. However competent I am at dressing the bottom half of me, for a preschooler, I completely fall apart on the top half. Barring a complete recovery, I can't fathom the day when I'll be able to figure out how to independently maneuver my way into my bra, like I used to every day since I was 13. The left arm through the left loop, the left boob into the left cup, never mind the clasp in the back. My poor injured brain gets all twisted up like some circus contortionist, even trying to imagine how this procedure would work. I'm supposed to at least try every step of getting dressed on my own, but when it comes to the bra, I no longer bother. My mother just does it for me, and we don't tell the therapists. She holds up one of my white Victoria's Secret Miracle bras. I close my eyes, shutting out the humiliating image of my mother manhandling my boobs. But even with my eyes closed, I can feel her cold fingers against my bare skin. And as I can't help but picture what she's doing, humiliation saunters right in, takes a seat, and puts its feet up, like it does every day now. Once that's over with, next comes my shirt. Today it's my white, oversized, button-down boyfriend shirt. I get my right arm into the right sleeve with relative ease, but then I give myself over to my mother for the left sleeve. I can't describe with any level of justice the impossibility of finding my left shirt sleeve with my left hand. I end up flinging my left hand way up in the air, like I'm in a classroom and I have a question, completely overshooting the sleeve hole. Or I find and grab onto the left sleeve with my right hand, but when I try to wrangle the sleeve onto my left arm, I somehow end up pulling the whole shirt up and over my head. Even the suggestion of left hand into left sleeve sends my brain spiraling in circles, making me a little dizzy. It's pure madness.